If you wish, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Because we are going to read the verse that wraps up our life here on earth pretty well. And we're going to talk about it. Okay, it's going to be Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You may be seated. So originally preparing, I was going to, like I have been, kind of run through Ecclesiastes because it became one of my favorite books of the Bible a while ago, back when I was in Colorado. And I was going to talk about it, and going through it, it was just interesting to me, to the point where the sermon has now morphed into what it is. If we're going to do the quickest version of Ecclesiastes, right? Ecclesiastes is a book of someone who tells his story of devoting his life to every aspect of life, right? To work, to wisdom, to folly and madness, to joy and pleasure, whatever it is. And he found that all of it was vanity and striving after wind. It amounted to nothing for the purpose of someone's life, because we all end up in the same place in the ground. And someone else gets what we've worked our whole lives for, and they may not even be in the same state of mind you are in to enjoy it properly or to continue. And that's just where it is for most of Ecclesiastes, which is not the happiest of things to read. But the takeaway out of all of it is to enjoy what God has given you in this life. Enjoy the work that he has given you, because it's meant for you, and it's going to cause something that is going to further his cause. It is to enjoy the time you have with the people that are in your life, because God has put them in your life for your betterment and theirs and everyone around you. And it goes from this enjoyment and eat, drink, and be merry to your whole duty is to fear God and keep his commandments. And that is just a weird transition to go from. Like, eat, drink, and be merry, enjoy things, fear God. Right? It seems like a big contrast. So I wanted to talk about the fear of God with you today, to understand why in that book he ends it with, you know, everything's been said, the matter is completed, fear God, keep his commandments. That's your whole duty as a person. And to do that, we have to talk about what the fear of God is, because fear is a big word for us. It conjures a lot of things in our brains. And what it is not for his people is people's first reaction, is this cowering in fear of an almighty, all-powerful God who's going to punish you. That is a sinful fear. That is a fear not shown in the light of who Christ is. We're going to say there are two types of fear, right? Sinful fear and righteous fear. Okay? And we are not going to focus much on the sinful fear, because we know it very well. Our whole existence is lived in sinful fear apart from Christ. We know what that is. The best example happens very early in the Bible, to Adam in Genesis 3, verse 10. Okay? And this is after the fall, after they eat, and God comes into the garden, and this is what Adam said when God calls out to him. And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Right? So that is what sinful fear does in the presence of God. It wants to hide. It wants to get away from him at any cost. And that's not who God is. In that moment, Adam missed the full picture of who God was. And we still do it every day. Just because you are saved does not mean you are removed from this type of fear. Right? This is the fear that we all feel every time we sin. There is an innate want to hide and obscure whatever sin it is. But what I want to talk to you today about is righteous or right fear. Okay? And the Bible is full of them. The best example we're going to read right now is from Job 42. It's right after Job's big, he has a very similar experience where he experiences God. God shows him the immensity of the world he's created. He shows them these nightmarish figures, the Leviathan, the behemoth. And he says, "What can you do to these, Job? But they listen to me." And Job's response is a right fear. It's Job 42, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see, my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself, and I repent in ashes and dust." Dust and ashes. So this is a correct fear of God, a recognition of who he is, but in light of his love. And it always leads to repentance and a humbling of yourself. And the Bible is full of these pictures. So most of what this sermon is going to be is me actually reading just Psalms. Just in the Psalms. The Bible is full of them. But we're going to focus on the Psalms because I want everyone to see that the fear of God is always interlinked with his love, his every aspect of God that you find comforting is always mixed in with his fear. Okay? Because this fear of God, it comes through our love. So we're going to go first to Psalm 19. We're going to read 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." We're just gonna keep going because I want you to have a sense of what the fear of God causes in people, specifically here in Psalms. So we're gonna go to Psalm 33 next. Verse 18. Okay, this is a quick one. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love." So here is the eye of the Lord is on him who fears and who hopes in his steadfast love. They're not separate. They are linked together. Fear and hope in his love are one thing. And then we're going to just go right over one page to Psalm 34. Oh, and mine, it's one page. It might not be in yours. Verses 4 through 22. This is going to be a long one. And we all know this, probably. I sought the Lord and he answered. This is a great song also. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Then those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lion suffers want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears towards their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. So, we're going to take the smallest break here. Because the fear of God is not something that makes you curl away from him, but draw close to him. Because we who are saved have seen the anger and the power and the willingness of God to punish sin. But we have also gotten to see the face of Christ, the one who, and could you just imagine? We sang the very last song we sang. I'm not going to pull it up or quote it again. We all know the type of people we are. Like, you know who you are. I know who I am. Why does a God who is so good choose to love you? Right? Because it's a choice that he has made. And what does that cause in you? Because it not only does it cause love, I don't know about my wife's side of the event, but when I was married to her, do you know how hard it was for me to even look at her as she came down the aisle? And it was 100% fear. But it wasn't fear that was going to make me run away, right? I was so overwhelmed by the fact that someone who knows just a little bit of who I am is willing to make the choice to love me and be with me. And how much more does God, who not only knows you, but made you and has known you since the beginning of the world and watches you constantly, decide to hurt and choose sin and try to hide from a God who is everywhere? How much more should that love cause you to fall on your face and not even be able to look at him because of fear? Not a fear that makes you fall away, but a fear of the unadulterated love of a God who's going to love you no matter what, who is always going to be there, who is going to remove your fears from you, who is going to always be there, That's the fear of God. It is a fear that can't wait to embrace him closer. Okay, we're going to keep on reading. We're going to go to Psalm 31, 19 through 24. With that in mind, I want you to read, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence you hide them. From the plots of men you store them in your shelters, from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me. When I was in a besieged city, I had said in my alarm, 'I am cut off from your sight,' but you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the ones who act in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." We're just going to keep going. We're going to turn to Psalm 86. We're going to read 1 through 13 now. Because there's another side of fear of the God. And I can only speak for my experiences, and I'm going to use my wife as an example again. There are moments in my life where what I need more than anything is my wife to be there to comfort me for whatever reason. And that is another one of those places that is scary, that is full of fear. Not fear that drives you away, but fear of opening up to someone and letting them see that you need that help. And knowing that it's going to be there, right? Like there are times where I need my wife's comfort in things, and I know it's going to be there. And that is another aspect of this fear of God. Because not only does it cause you to have this intense love, faced falling on the dirt because of his great love, but also knowing that I can come to him at any time and also experience the exact same love. We're going to read Psalm 86, 1 through 13. "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O God, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol." So, a right fear of God also produces what we just did, praise of his great name and his great works. You call out to him in your times of need, and he will answer, and it causes praise. "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in them. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you," was his next sentence, "with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever." So a heart united in the fear of God, will praise him forever as well. And we're going to continue. We're going to jump to Psalm 112. We are almost done with these psalms. And this is a short psalm, so we're going to read the whole thing. We're going to read 1 through the end. This is another. I'm going to try to be loud. It's not in my nature, but there's an exclamation point here. Okay? Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His offspring will be mighty in the land, and the generations of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desires of the wicked will perish. So, this righteous fear that allows you to see God in his love to you, come to him in your time of need, also causes the people who have it to act accordingly to that right fear in his commands. It's all coming together, right? This is the end of the matter. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments. This is what the right fear of the Lord does to you and allows you to do. Because this fear of the Lord is not something you can produce within yourself. Right? This is not 5 or 3 or 7 easy steps to producing more fear of the Lord in your life. Just like grace and saving faith, it is a gift of God. It is something you experience when he changes your life and makes you able to see him in his complete love. And we're going to go to one more place before I say that. We're going to go to my favorite psalm. It's Psalm 130. And we're just going to read 1 through 4. Okay. Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I mean, you should just read the rest of the psalm, just as a side note. But the forgiveness that we receive from God has a purpose, and it is that he may be feared. And if you read that with this idea of fear that makes you hide and curl away from him, the sinful fear, it makes no sense. But if you read this with a eye and a heart that has been changed, and you can see what this fear is supposed to cause, you have been forgiven so that you may fear God correctly and that your life may be shaped into what it is supposed to be. So, in Ecclesiastes, he says this is your whole duty as a person, to fear God and keep his commandments. This is what he is picturing. This is what he is talking about. Someone who can eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy the work and enjoy the people that he has in his life correctly because he has a correct fear of God. And there's one more place I want to go with you guys, and I didn't tell Matt, I apologize. This has always been the case for people. This has always been the plan. I want to take y'all to Deuteronomy chapter 6 to show you that before Christ, before Israel was a nation, this was always the plan. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, and we're going to read all the way to 9. This is Moses talking to the Israelites, getting ready to go into the land that they were promised. And we've covered this before, actually. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your sons and your sons' sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The commandments that he's given are meant that you may fear him. The salvation that you get is supposed to cause fear. The forgiveness that you get every single time you sin and come to him is that you may fear him correctly. The fear of God is so central to who we are as Christians, but it's not talked about a lot. Not for any bad reason. There's a lot to talk about in the Bible. But I wanted to take today to remind y'all of just how good the fear of God is. And to leave you with one final question. Have you forgotten what the fear of God is? Have you let things come into your life that cause you to sinfully fear and hide from him? Because he knows, and you get to look into the face of ultimate love when you come and share your troubles with him. And it will cause more fear of God, more right fear when you do it. Do not be afraid of God. He loves you. But come to him so that you may have more fear of God in your life, so that you can live and act and be more close to him and more in fear of his great power and love in your life. And if you are not saved, you could experience a trembling fear that takes over your entire body and life in a way that produces so much love and so much care that it is unimaginable. And if you have someone in your life, or if you are here and that is true of you, we just covered what the whole duty of a person is. Fear God and keep his commandments. Draw close to Jesus. Jesus is perfect, God's perfect example of love in this world. He came and he died for you. He went through all kinds of atrocities for you while you are the way you are right now. And all he asks is that you believe in him and be saved, and he will cause the most miraculous transition in your life that ever can be. So fear God and keep his commandments. All right, let's pray. God, thank you for your greatness. Thank you for every aspect of who you are that we could spend a lifetime talking about, that causes us to fall more in love with you as we live our lives. God, please help us to experience the fear of God correctly so that we can be changed more and more to the image of Christ, so that we can love and live and show your love to others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.